Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. She's Michelle Knezvik. I'm Chase McCabe. Nick Keiser is here broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Good to have Michelle back in the saddle after a couple of days off. I had a couple of days off. It's vacation season.
I know. And then Memorial Day is Monday / my birthday. It's just going to be great.
Your birthday is actually Monday?
Oh, so then when you texted me and said, oh, we're not doing the early show, I was like, yeah, my birthday, I can sleep in. Thank you.
Yeah, we're letting Junie and Nick handle our live programming on Memorial Day. Are you excited, Nick? I can just see the excitement.
And they're just going to do a show about me for my birthday.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not doing a birthday show that involves a 26-year-old. But look.
25 I saw now. I'm not 26 yet.
Yeah, but you threw out there on Twitter for everyone to know.
Yeah,
I'm turning 26.
By the way, midlife crisis or quarter-life crisis.
Quarter-life
crisis because you're turning 26. The words that I said when I saw that I cannot say because of the FCC.
Yeah, but Joe looked at me and goes, I don't feel bad for you.
Like, seriously. Okay, so I was telling this story the other day, and it got me laughing. And if he's listening right now, he's going to roll his eyes, and then I'm going to get a text from him. But there was one time I was producing Middays, and so it was Darren and Derek. That was the show. So D-Mace had just joined. It was and Darren McFarlane, and I was complaining about something stupid. Mm-hmm. And Darren just looks at me and goes, damn 20-something kids. And it became a drop and like a funny thing. And now I'm at the point where it's like I have found myself saying that. Like, would you, and I mean this tongue-in-cheek, but when you tweeted that, I'm like, damn 20-somethings, you don't even know. I got stuff that's hurting now that I don't even know I have. Like, I mean, you know, and – like, I hear Jared, who's, what, 2 years younger than me, saying, like, I'm old. I'm like, get out of here. And that's just I guess it eventually happens, but that's where I'm at in life. And, like, there's people listening to me complain that are going, like, you're 35. Get over it.
You're 35. Get over it. We're going to get a text from Rex Road soon. He's like, both of you quit.
Actually, I'm 30. I am 36 a month from tomorrow.
Oh, so we are almost exactly 10 years apart.
See, again, you didn't have to do that. And then the whippersnapper behind the glass, like, you're what, 12?
Yeah, let's go with that, yeah, sure.
Nick's 12.
Breaking some
The youngest reporter out there.
Something like that.
Yes.
Anyway,
so
done with our rant.
Pray for me, everybody, as I enter I'm over a quarter. Isn't that crazy? Like, you think of, and this is a tangent,
you're
really
you're still
quick.
Your mid-20s.
No, but you... like, say 100 years is, like, your life. Like, I have crossed that quarter. Like, it's just kind of a weird perspective to have.
26 was might have been my favorite year.
Well, great.
Because, like, things really took off for me here. Like, I had been here for a couple of years, but I think that was probably when I was producing mornings, maybe, with Joe and Greg. And so I, like... you know, I was starting my career. I was getting to do a bunch of cool things with that. Love life was a little better then. I had fun. Let's put it that way. So, yeah. So
his DMs are being slitted into.
Oh, that was prime DM season. That was prime DM season then.
Might be a preview of a segment that may be happening soon.
Yeah, it could be. Could be. I closed my DMs, but I'll reopen them for that. I got tired of the bots.
Chase had to shut the door.
Yeah, well, I got bots. That was the problem. But now people are like, oh, let's go find his DMs and slide in there. What were we? I don't even remember
NBA.
What we were going to talk about.
Speaking of basketball.
Boston survives.
So annoying. I have no idea
what just happened.
Nothing. I'm giving you a hard time because we were not talking about the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, we were going to talk about
how the Dallas Stars had their captain get tossed out of the game in the first 2 minutes.
Well, I had on the grid both of them.
Oh, yes.
Nick's like, yes. You're not talking about the NHL, Chase.
Yeah, no, like, again.
Well,
like,
to be fair, it's on there.
Now, you both have
to be fair, basketball is good.
You both have picked up on I've picked up on this. But, you know, so with Game Center updates, I used to joke with them that, like, I'd hear Michelle's at 8 o'clock and I'd get my NBA update. And then I'd hear Knicks at 9, I'd get my NHL update.
Because yeah, but I've been squeezing in some NBA
thoughts. I know, because you're both on to me that I am on to you.
But I do like the fact that you have the speciality between me and Michelle for both of those, which is pretty solid. I mean,
look, the my way of thinking is play to strengths, and so on this show, we have that.
We have both. And then Ian does everything because he is a rock star.
Oh, Ian is a Swiss Army knife.
He's like, that reminds me, I need to text him back.
Thank you for that.
But, and we will talk about
we'll get to
NHL.
That.
I mean, I watched 5 seconds of that game, and then it was already the Knights were up already 3-0, and I'm like, okay, well, on to the next. But Boston winning last night, it's just kind of annoying because I hate to break it to you, Boston. They were tweeting, a bunch of people were tweeting Marcus Smart, and some of the guys were tweeting, don't let us win. Don't let us get one. It's like, okay, nobody has ever, E-V-E-R, come back.
Ever
come back down 3-0. Listen, if you do it, props to you. Wait, here's your popcorn.
In the Eastern Conference Final?
NBA.
No.
Nobody's ever come back from a 3-0 deficit.
Really?
Yes.
That cannot be
ever,
right.
Ever. They just put it up there.
See, again, that's one of those stats where I'm like, that can't be true.
That's the, like, because everybody was talking about a couple days ago, obviously, when Denver was up 3-0 against the Lakers, and it's like, can LeBron and the Lakers make history of coming back from a down 3-0? Obviously, now the same mantra on the other side of things with the Heat and the Celtics, but it's just enough with the tweeting. You're down 3-0.
Yeah, I did kind of want to see for the first time, because I knew this was the first time, I wanted to see sweeps in both conferences for the first time ever, and then they sit for 12 days before they actually start the NBA Finals, which is just stupid.
I know, and we're coming into the period, you know, it's May right now, and we're begging for any sort of sports we can get, like at Titans or at OTAs yesterday. I was like, oh my gosh, we have actual things to talk about, and these games now having to wait 12 days in between. It's just let's just do it. They've already been playing back to back to back to games.
Yeah.
But I have Denver winning it all, and I also called that they would sweep the Lakers.
You did, and the Laker, you know, now LeBron's contemplating retirement and all that stuff, which we know is BS. He's going to come back. He's going to be fine.
He's playing until Bronny plays, and I feel very confident.
So I will tell you what I said on the show yesterday, and I will see if you agree with me, because everybody, I believe the Lakers need to go get one more big piece, and they have trade pieces where they can do that now. Obviously, the easy dot to connect is Kyrie and reuniting LeBron and Kyrie. I think they should try and get Trae Young from Atlanta and put Trae Young with LeBron and AD.
Trae Young's ball hog, though.
Yeah, but LeBron wouldn't let. I mean, if he had the opportunity to play with LeBron, he'd get over that.
Yeah, with I think it's an interesting conversation to have, but I mean, I think what we saw. And this is a little bit different because Kyrie is a point guard, but Kyrie and Luka, I mean, that's Luka's team, and that obviously did not work out. I mean, as much as people can say LeBron's a big guy, well, LeBron plays every position. He is the ultimate basketball player. I don't think Trae Young would fit well on that team. Trae Young is a ball hog, and I think that, you know, watching this team this year, you know, you get rid of a guy like Kevin Huerter, he goes to Sacramento, I mean, and look at the season he had with them, but wasn't able to be as productive with the Hawks.
So do you think Kyrie would work, though?
Kyrie
with the Lakers?
Him and LeBron have been together.
No, I know, and it didn't always go well.
No. I mean, I can't see him moving again.
Look, Trae Young on a team captained by LeBron James – he's like, the deal is going to be, hey, you're going to come here, you're going to play by my rules. So if he doesn't, then he's gone.
And I don't think, and I get it, right? I mean, I don't think I could not see that happening. Trae Young wants the team to be his team.
You and I are going to be on different sides of the fence on this.
I also don't think Atlanta would, I mean, they're going to do everything to keep him.
I think he wants out. I need to look at his contract. I think he wants out.
How?
Atlanta sucks.
Well, yeah, but what do you mean he wants out? Like, has there been?
I've seen that floating around on Twitter that he he might want to move on. So, I don't know.
And also to the point that I made early, no NBA team has ever come back down 3-0 to win a playoff series in 150 tries. Okay. But 13 times a team has done so down 3-1. And the Celtics just overcame, obviously, that 3-2 deficit in their second round series against the Philadelphia 76ers.
We did not get to – I'm sorry, Nick. We did not get to Dallas. We will do that.
He's clearly mad.
We will do that at the end of the show. We will give you your moment to talk about Jamie Benn and what happened last night. But Vegas up 3-0 in that series. And then, obviously, you got Florida that could close it out tonight. But back to the Titans. Should we be concerned about special teams? 615-737-1025. We'll discuss that coming up here on Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063, The Game.
The standards of love for returners, you want them to catch the ball. For kickers, 49 yards is your limit. Meanwhile, around the league, the kicks over 50 yards are off the charts, and catching the ball is a presumption that every team...
Sure. I would say going on to the kicking part first, I wouldn't say 49 is our top limit. I just want our 40 to 49 to be very consistent. And then with 50 plus, that's great. You're right. We got to kick field goals from 50 plus. There's no doubt about that. We're really focused in on the 40 to 49 right now in the off season, and we'll continue to work with 50 or 50 plus. Going to your punt returner situation, yes, we want more than just a guy that can go and catch the ball. Obviously, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for a guy who can catch it, make a guy miss in space, get us the first down is what we're looking for, and be able to break a big one. But as you can see from last year, we just want a guy that's back there, catch the ball, get upfield, get that first down and go.
That was Craig Aukerman yesterday, Titans special team coordinator, talking about the big things that are part of his job. Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063, The Game. You want to start with the return part or the kicking part?
Let's start with the kicking part. And my ears perked up because I came in. I was getting off a flight. Ooh, almost knocked my water over
nice
there.
Save.
Getting off a flight and got there in the middle of Craig Aukerman's press conference. And the first question I heard was about kicker. And when he said, we want a guy who can consistently kick between, I think it was 30 or something, and 49.
Yeah.
And anything above is great. My ears immediately perked up, and I was like, "Oh gosh,
that's not the answer."
People are not gonna want to hear that just because we've seen this team lose a lot of games this year, and in the last couple of years, just off a kick, right, or off a missed kick on the reverse side of things. So, and with a team like this where their offense isn't high flying, it's a run first. You know, getting 3 points or an extra point here and there, I mean, can help this team go a long way when last year, I mean, they were averaging 17 points a game. You know, those 3 points and those 1 points to feel confident in a kicker, that means a lot. It means a lot.
So let's start with that. Caleb Shudak has played one game in his NFL career. It was last year against Cincinnati where he was 3 of 4. So 75%, he went 1 for 1 on extra points.
Okay.
All right. There you go. That is the sample size.
Very small
now,
sample size.
Going back to his college career at Iowa, he was 100% with extra points. He had 37 and 24 of 29 with field goals, so 82.8%. Okay. Take that. For context... For reference, because in the middle of our show yesterday, Adam Schefter reported that the Broncos were releasing Brandon McManus. So, of course, we're all like, we had Teresa Walker on. Do you bring him in? Do you look at him? McManus last year, or for his career, was 81.4%, 77.8% last year. Randy Bullock, 83.4% career, 85% last year. And Bullock's still out there. So
he's just been a guy who's been around here.
The problem with Randy Bullock, and this is where it kind of contradicts what Aukerman was saying, is anything over 49 probably wasn't going to make it.
See, that was my point too, because I thought, okay, well, Randy's been somewhat consistent in that range for you all. But it's those big ones that fans are covering their eyes and they can't feel confident that they've got a Robbie Gould out there who they know, oh, yep, we're good. Or McPherson from Cincinnati. Remember the iconic line before they won? He looked at Joe Burrow and he said, you ready to go to an AFC championship, and goes and nails however far it was. And, I mean, I wouldn't go just get another guy who's got the same production as him.
No.
Right? I mean, it doesn't make sense.
The two they got on that, they got Shudak on the roster right now, and then they got Trey Wolf. And I just look, they got Trey Wolf, 6'4", 205. That's a big boy for a kicker.
Yeah.
So, and I haven't seen him yet. I know Jared was talking about him a little bit yesterday, that he was okay.
Texas Tech guy?
Yeah. Look, I'm fine. If they find a first or a second year guy that can be the kicker for the Tennessee Titans and can be what Rob Baronis was or Al Del Greco, you know, be here for a long time, great. I'm cool with that, you know. But I'm tired of this kicking carousel, and I'm scared that that's the road they're going down again because for whatever reason they can't figure it out. And then Aukerman gets up there and says the sweet spot is, you know, 30 to 49. I'm like, dude, you got to be making 50-yard kicks in the NFL nowadays. Like 50 to 53 is kind of the standard. You know, there are big leg kickers in the NFL nowadays, and the Titans haven't been able to find that.
Can Stonehouse kick?
See, I wondered that, but I had somebody tell me one time that a punter trying to kick is a really different discipline.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to do.
We just know he's got a big leg. but
we also know he's not the most accurate.
Yes.
So, and they're working with him on that. So that's the other part of it.
Quick note on Trey Wolf. I just kind of looked up his just career notes at Texas Tech. So he is in the Texas Tech career record book, ended his career fifth ranked all time in program history for successful field goals, 42, eight kickers in program history to nail 40 or more field goals in his career. Also ninth on all time scoring list with 233 points. Ranked fourth among kickers on the career scoring chart. What does that mean looking at who actually went there and who's also on this with him at Texas Tech?
Right, but and they're trying to make this work because they don't want to pay more for a Randy Bullock or a Robbie Gould.
For sure.
That's why they're trying to do that. Now, they may get to a point where they realize, okay, we have to, that this is a premium position, and we got to go spend the money, and so they do that. But
I mean, and you look at what a good kicker can do. You look at, I mean, Adam Vinatieri out there, right? I mean, right, so you look at, and I look at this team, too, this team that is a defense-run-first team that isn't scoring a lot of points. So when you look at the position, yeah, a kicker's not an electric wide receiver, but, I mean, if they can be scoring 6-7 points, I mean, points for you a game,
right?
That could be more than your offense,
this
right?
This is a team where I think they're really going to need a kicker. Like, they're going to get – not necessarily be able to bury it in the end zone, and so they're going to need a kicker that can make a long kick to potentially win them some games. And that's a concern right now. It's a concern because I don't know anything about Caleb Shudak or Trey Wolf, and none of us do. You got one game of Shudak, and then you got college stats for Trey Wolf and really for Shudak.
And then you have, like you said, a guy in Randy Bullock you're going to have to pay. He's not a young guy. You're going to have to pay him, but he was for you the last two seasons.
Right.
But could be better than maybe either of these guys, and you know that even with the production he gave you, that would be better than risking just kind of run-of-the-mill, random people off the street.
Now, the other thing that he was asked about, that Craig Aukerman was asked about, and we'll get to the new kickoff rule in a second, but he was asked about, you know, return, catching the ball. You know, Kyle Phillips last year looked like he was going to be a returner, and he muffed one, and we know what happened there. They haven't been able to really get a return game going in forever, and now it's more so punt return than anything. But, I mean, I remember when this team was pretty good at that, and, you know, he'll be in here in about 30 minutes, a guy that was pretty good at that. And then you got Pac-Man. Pac-Man was pretty good at that stuff. I heard on the Choice Is Yours this morning, you guys talking about returners, mm-hmm. more so kick returners. But, you know, it used to be a pretty important thing, and they can't seem to find it. And, you know, yesterday at least, it looked like they had a lot of the same guys back there that we've seen before.
Yeah, I have a feeling. I mean, Kyle Phillips is going to be another name, another guy that we're going to see back there, try to give him another run at it. But to your point, Chase, it is really important. And I think Vrabel has been one of the guys, too, who has highlighted how important special teams are and getting players who are able to be really, really versatile, because he knows that, you know, if you can get put in good field position and have a good punter like Ryan Stonehouse, or for forever here, Brett Kern, or, you know, if you can have a good returner and they can get you, you know, closer to that first down mark. I mean, that's crucial, the field position. If you can get a kicker who can be consistent, I mean, that is just points for a team who's not used to scoring 24 plus points a game, even 21 plus points a game. These are really important, and I think that they are, you know, an area where you can look at. It's not the most obvious where we talk about the offensive line or the wide receiver core, but it is an area that there has been inconsistency at the last year, I would say, year and a half.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and so I worry, and you say that, you know, Vrabel puts an emphasis on special teams, and I think he does. But I feel like he really likes, like, the guys that will go out there and, you know, be the gunner or be the, you know, what play the other roles, the not obvious roles that we see. Because I think he probably did some of that in his career.
He was offense, defense. He was everything.
He did everything. But I do worry that, like, the two big things on special teams, like punting, I feel good about punting. Like, obviously, Brett Kern was here a long time and was awesome. It appears that they've found what's next. I know they're working with him on being a little more directional and not just the cannon leg. But he set some records last year. I mean, he was good.
His cleats are in cannon now.
Right. It's place kicker, and it's essentially punt return. Kick return, a different story, which we'll get to coming up next. But
yeah, and I would imagine that they would give Kyle Phillips another – like go-to guy as the returner, just because of Vrabel's comments at the end of your press conference. Vrabel asked him, and then Vrabel went into, or sorry, Jared asked Vrabel, and Vrabel went into, well, you know, we drafted Kyle Phillips, we thought he could be our quick, speedy receiver, and then we also wanted him to be our return guy, and then we obviously know what happened. He muffed one, and then he got injured. So I think I can feel confident. I mean, just because I can't really think of anybody else that he would be a guy they're gonna put a lot of attention onto. And he had some successful ones. It's just their sample size was so incredibly small because he wasn't on the field a lot.
So they have changed the kickoff rules, and we will discuss that coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Mike, they also approved the rule today on the fair catch on kickoffs. You're on the competition committee. What's your thoughts? Is it does it help with the safety of the game, or is it more of a?
Well, we haven't done it, so I couldn't tell you if it's going to help.
They did vote on it today.
No, I know, okay. Teresa. I know. Just let me finish here, and I'll do my best to answer your question. I don't know if it's going to help with the safety because we haven't done it. The hope is that it will limit, you know, the concussions that occur on that play. You know, that's a highly, if you just look at the percentages, you know, and, you know, do you track them? And again, we understand that there's going to be some injuries involved in professional football and football at all levels. We're just trying to mitigate those risks. You know, the average starting position after a kickoff was a 25.3. So, you know, I get there's going to be some arguments against it. There's going to be a lot of arguments for it. I think it's a one-year trial, and we'll go from there.
Mike Vrabel yesterday on the new kickoff rule. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. The rule basically saying the ball will be put in play at the receiving team's 25-yard line if there's a fair catch on a kickoff or a safety kick behind the receiving team's 25-yard line. To me, so it's the college rule is essentially what they're going to. And every time they tweak this or they talk about kickoffs, I think it just comes back to just get rid of kickoffs. just put the ball on the 25 and call today. And I still don't know where I fall in that. That, I mean, we have seen guys that will take it out of the end zone and have a pretty good return and, you know, go for it or run it back. Or it's not like it used to be. It's not like the human joystick. It's not like, you know, D-Mace had a few of those. Devin Hester, obviously. So it's not that way. But I do. It does kind of feel like it's trending towards that eventually they might just place the ball at the 25 and not have a kick.
I think also, too, you definitely have to, like, draw comparisons between just how much they know about head injuries now, right? And they've seen some injuries. I know that Vrabel in that clip said, well, we don't know yet. We don't know if it's going to limit injuries. And it is still an NFL game. And when you get out there, you're probably prone to injuries. But I remember having a conversation with Kyle Phillips at the beginning or during training camp last year. So just about a year ago. And, you know, the conversation was, what is the mentality that you have to have when you are looking up in the air trying to catch a football while an entire team of players are just rushing to get you, and you're looking up and you can see kind of out of your peripheral guys just charging towards you, getting ready to basically destroy you. You know, what is that like? Because you have to have some sort of, you know, craziness to you to do that, where you can just allow people to run as fast as they can towards you while you are looking up trying to catch the ball. And, you know, we've seen injuries happen in settings like this. Do we know if it'll help? No, but you could assume that, okay, if they want a fair catch, yeah, then that could help that. But it still is football. Who knows? I don't have a real problem with it. I really don't. But I mean, to your point, we've seen some great returns. I remember the Nyheim Hines one right after the Damar Hamlin situation twice. I mean, that was just incredible. And I think, you know, it's always really entertaining, but I don't have too many thoughts on it, Chase. I mean, it doesn't really bother me either way.
Sure.
Like you said, it's pretty much just doing the college way.
Yeah. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst who joins Caroline Willie and D-Mace every week, was on yesterday and was asked about kickoffs potentially just going away.
Yeah, I think we're really close to that. You just look at it's the play that has been adjusted the most, right? Used to be get a running head start. They're changing, you know, they've changed where you've kicked from. They clearly have tried to encourage touchbacks as much as possible. And so, you know, I think with that, you just have to look at it and say, look, there's a problem with this play. And last year when we at ESPN met with the league and kind of had our health and safety meeting, just as a broadcast partner, kind of meet with them and talk about varying things, points of emphasis, officiating, but also player safety. And look, they're able to track this. They're able to track the, you know, the significance of, you know, an impact of a hit. They're able to track, you know, the plays which guys are hurt. And look, it's not just concussions. It's also, you know, something else that's been brought up a lot is artificial turf versus grass and lower leg injuries. But it is widely known that kickoff is the play where guys get injured the most, and primarily head injuries. Well, the wedge has been removed, all of that stuff. So I do think it's just a matter of time. And I think the league, what they're trying to do is they're trying to change it in a way where you're kind of baby stepping to make it a safer play. But ultimately, like, the end result might just be, look, it's just too violent and dangerous, and we had to come up with another solution. So rather than saying, like, well, we're scrapping it all together, if you look at what happened, I guess it was the XFL where, you know, guys were starting 5 yards apart. Okay, well, like, that looks much more like punt return than kickoff return. So I get that people aren't going to like it, but, you know, at the same time, the head injuries are the thing that's the biggest threat to football, and I think they're just trying to eliminate them.
That was Tim Hasselbeck yesterday on Caroline Willie and D-Mace. So I agree with him. It's like I was saying, I think eventually it's going to go away. And then the question is, you know, what do you do? Do you have an opening kickoff and that's it? Do mm-hmm. you put it on the 25 every time? Obviously, onside kicks is something that comes up. And look, I love the XFL rule of 4th and 15. I love that rule. I'd be totally fine with that.
So I'm not as fluent in XFL, okay, so explain quickly.
So instead of, like, so, and Tim referenced this, you used to be able to get a running start on a kickoff. And mm-hmm. for an onside kick, that was really the key part of it because you could get a running start. You can't do that anymore. And so instead of the onside kick, basically you score, kick the extra point, what have you. You get the ball back on a 4th and 15. They place – I don't
know. Oh, and you can just go for it there.
Yeah, and so if you convert the first down, then you keep the ball.
Oh, okay.
Is essentially what it is.
I mean, that's very entertaining. I think that would be a very drastic change in the NFL. I mean, I don't know.
They have talked about it. And I think the USFL did it like a 4th and 12. Like they do a similar type thing than the XFL. You know, and they have the different 2-point conversions that you can. Yes. They have the 3-point conversion.
Or
and,
you can move back in, yeah, in yeah, kicking. Yeah. And, well, 4th and 15, I mean, just okay, so Burrow and Mahomes and all them, they're gonna get it every time.
Yeah. I feel like that the NFL, and I'd love to ask Vrabel this actually, since he's on the competition committee, like how much of some of the rules that the XFL and the USFL have done do you guys pay attention to that could potentially, you know, make their way to the NFL at some point? Because I think that, like, you look at all the guys, like Dean Blandino's involved in some of these leagues, and mm-hmm. the ones involved, like, obviously they're doing it for a reason. Like, it's kind of like AAA baseball tested out all the rules that are in Major League Baseball and are still doing some. And so this is an opportunity to do that.
No, and I think you bring up a really great point there, Chase. Although they're not their minor league affiliate, right? I mean, the XFL and the USFL, it's another form of professional football for people to play. Yes, more leagues, but to your point on experimenting and trying out different things, how do they work? I mean, the other day, the Sounds tried out the robot ball
strikes.
Yeah, the robo umps. So they tried that out the other day. I really hope that doesn't happen in Major League.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't mind it.
Really?
So basically, the what it is, and how they've done it is, like, during the week, I think it's like Tuesday through Thursday, they do the robo umps, and there's still an ump behind the plate, but mm-hmm. he's got an earpiece that will say ball, strike. Like that's what it'll do. And then during the weekend, they do the challenge system. So each team gets like 4 challenges or whatever it is. And if an ump calls, you know, a ball, they can challenge it. Like if it's the pitching team, they can say, nah, that looked like a strike to me. And they can use one of their challenges and they'll look at it real quick. And they have like a booth review that'll look at it real quick. And so.
But you know where it's trending is more of my point.
I think the challenge system is probably the one that they'll end up going with. Mm-hmm. But. I think it's good to test that stuff. And so, you know, to this, and guess where they would do this from? Their own 25-yard line. So get the ball to 25, you have 4th and 15, and then you keep the ball wherever you convert the play. So it's not there yet, but I have a feeling if kickoffs go away completely, then you're going to see a similar rule like this for the NFL. You're going to have to have something where they can get the ball back.
Well, and I think it's fair to draw conclusions to more changes happening with kickoffs just because it's been the area that has been looked at and adjusted and tampered with the most.
Sure.
Right? And to Trevor's point, or I'm sorry, not Trevor, that was Tim Hasselbeck's point of there's so much research done too. And they can monitor all these things with head injuries. And the more knowledge that they have on, okay, when are these happening? What situation is a player being put in when they are more, you know, apt to have a head injury? And just the more technology and known about the league. I mean, I mentioned before, there's so much known on CTE and concussions and head injuries. And they're taken so much more seriously than they were taken 10, 15 years ago. So you're seeing the league now, okay, what information do we have and how can we maybe adjust something that isn't a competitive advantage on either side of things, but we have a competition committee where Mike Vrabel's a part of it and other people around the league that they can look at something and say, okay, yeah, I can see how this would be a fair change and try it out for a year, like he said, and does this help things?
Yeah. Real quick, a couple of texts. Tommy says on our text line driven by WilsonKennyHunter.com, this is some Mickey Mouse crap. A lot of these players live on special teams, not to mention us fans love kickoffs. The rule is dumb. Games can and have been won on it. Fair. I get that.
Fair, 100%.
I get that. Tyler, eliminating kickoffs mean we lose a surprise onside kick, which would be unfortunate. Imagine the Saints-Colts Super Bowl without that option. True, but you can't really do it anymore because you can't rush up to the line. That was how they were able to do it. So it's not as easy to do anymore. Nate says, do you think this is a bone the NFL is throwing the PA/fans? Since the perception is the league doesn't seem to care too much about players being injured, it's all about the mighty dollar. I know not all injuries can be eliminated. It just seems that the new kickoff rule is trying to appease the PA and the fans. I don't think I'd say that it's trying to appease the PA and the fans. I mean, look, the game is – it's not a safe game. It's not. And so I think they're trying – now that they know more about concussions and the long-term effect that concussions can have, they're doing their best to try and eliminate it, but reduce them, even though they know they're never going to actually go away.
Well, and I don't think that this rule change would be more appealing to the fans,
No. Right?
I mean, because
I think a 4th-and-15 onside kick would be more appealing to the fans.
100%. And I will say, I mean, there's nothing like turning on a broadcast on a Sunday and the opening shot being like a drone and just watching the kickoff. I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Coming up next, we will talk about Jamie Benn and
his major.
We'll give Nick his moment and preview the games. Only one game tonight, and it's in the NHL. We'll do that next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
But, and then where was the contact made? And I believe the contact was in the jaw area. You'll see right there. Yeah, right across the jaw. I certainly support a 5-minute major in a game misconduct here if that's what they ultimately go with.
And that would be huge, obviously, to lose their captain, Ben, an important player, 33 goals in the regular season.
That was how it sounded last night as the Dallas Stars fall 4-0 to the Vegas Golden Knights, and Vegas has a 3-0 series lead. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jamie Benn, captain for the Dallas Stars. That was in the first 2 minutes of the game, and he gets kicked out, and it was a bloodbath after that with Vegas pouring it on. But listen, I was watching it. I've rewatched the play. I agree with the call. Nick, you agree with the call?
100%. You and I were talking about how many games to give him. I mean, he kind of already got a game right there.
Yeah, I don't know if he gets it. I
would give him maybe one.
He could get a game. Besides that
you get
last
one,
night.
It's already over pretty much.
Yeah.
So I think the one would be fair, plus the time that he missed last night.
You agree with the call?
Yeah, I was just rewatching it actually on here for a second because they do it in the slow-mo and everything. Yeah, I mean.
Was it what – do you think the initial hit is what got him, or was it the cross-check when the guy was already on the ground?
It's 100% the cross-check. And some people were making the argument that he was being tripped up, and I'm like, not really. Like, momentum, sure, after the hit, like them falling maybe.
No,
but
he goes
there's
right
no
down
way.
There.
Yeah, because he looks straight at him for the most part and is intentionally trying to make a little bit of a selfish little hit there for himself, saying, hey, you can't do that to me. Because Jamie Benn's all about his territory. I get it. But, dude, captain on captain like that is so ridiculous.
Well, and I mean, honestly, they were already behind the eight ball, but I think that lost them the series. Like, Vegas is not going to let up now.
You ready?
Go ahead.
You know what I need to say right now? Don't do dumb bleep.
To hurt the team. Yeah.
And that is exactly
Michelle Vrabel.
That is exactly what you don't want from your captain there less than 4 minutes into a game, a must-win game. You're already down 2-0 in the series.
Oh, 100%. And the thing, too, is guess what he didn't do last night? He didn't talk to anybody about it. And their CEO and president, their Sean Henry, came out and made his own statement on behalf of the entire organization, which is ridiculous if you ask me.
Well, that he did, that Jamie didn't talk?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you're the captain. I've had some dealings with him over the years, and he's always been fine. It hadn't been a lot, but so I'm a little surprised that he didn't own up to that and talk. Because even if you get kicked out of a game, you can still talk after the game.
I mean, it was kind of the conversation you and I were having earlier.
Yeah.
We were talking about Kevin Byard, how right. He's always the guy who, whether you lose, whether you get blown out, whether your GM gets fired, he is always the guy. He got the Eddie George Media Award earlier this year because he's always the guy who will stand up and talk about his team. You want that from a captain. And, okay, we can say he did dumb bleep to hurt the team, which, as we mentioned, you know, really hurt them in that game and switched the momentum early, even though Vegas was already on the board. But, okay, if you were the captain of that team and you do that and you realize you messed up and you see how the game panned out, you also need to be able to get out there and put your head up and be like, this is my fault. I take full responsibility. Wasn't cool of me. I mean, come on, dude.
I know. I think Vegas sweeps. I think Vegas closes it out tomorrow.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was just going to say, isn't it crazy that at one point, and Nick and I were talking about this, that we could have seen two NBA sweeps and two NHL sweeps?
Which is obviously not good for television and for radio and everything.
Kind of wild.
But, no, the Wild are out. They're not in.
Oh, well.
Sorry. I had to. I think it's done tomorrow. The one tonight, though, look, and I've been awful at picking these. Like, these are not... These have not gone the way that I thought they should go.
Chase loves his stars.
No, we're done with the stars. We're done now. I think Florida closes it tonight.
You think so?
Does Big Game Bob?
Don't say you think. How about you make a decision right here, right
now? Oh, Nick, okay.
I guess I think Carolina wins tonight, but I'm going opposite because...
You're doing the Costanza.
I have been wrong so much
sure.
on this.
What is the over-under for goals tonight?
Five
I'm just curious. I don't like that happy medium.
It's usually always 5.5.
Oh, I don't like it. I'm going to say it's still under, but I would also lean toward Carolina tonight. They just have a lot of fight in them. I don't see them going away. Quite frankly, I know Bob is a fantastic goalie, but still.
The thing is, they have not played bad.
No,
they have played well enough to win these games.
And it was 1-0 last time.
Right. It's just Florida's gotten that extra bounce, or Bob has been Big Game Bob.
Yeah. Well,
and that's what it's been.
Adam Vingan wrote just this morning, or his article came out, I believe, that Bobrovsky, you know, this stat still stands, Chase, when I brought it up. He has 19 goals save above expected, which is insane. He also, before his regular season ended, he had a minus saves goal save above expected. And now he's...
Talk about flipping the switch.
He's near 20 now, which is nuts.
It's just playoff Bob. Postseason Bob.
I think flipping
the switch.
Personally, I think he has the Russian gas going for him, but still.
The Russian. I'm going.
Oh, gosh, Chase.
Carolina. Give me Carolina. Okay. I'll go Carolina.
I think the Panthers close it out tonight.
Okay. You're going to be right.
Was that your power move right there on the stream with, okay, I made my decision?
Yeah. By the way, do we have my rookies remix from yesterday?
No, go.
Michelle missed that.
My gosh.
I did a work from home show. And
what's your cat's name?
Rebel. He lives up to it.
I really think it's his cat's fault.
So the cat, like, we're starting the show, my cat jumps on the desk and he knocks into something and it screwed the whole thing up. And so apparently what they all heard was me going, rookies, 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 rookies. Like, it just started skipping.
It was for a solid maybe 10 seconds. And then I was like, all right. It was me and Frazier. I was like, all right, Frazier, we got to talk about the Titans for a couple of minutes.
And I'm like, by the way, for any cat owners out there, you know you can throw them across the room and they'll be fine.
They will stand on their feet.
Oh, yeah. So I did. I mean, I chucked him across the room. I was so mad. But yeah, so that's what it was.
Rebel just wanted some airtime.
He did.
How can you blame him?
He wanted attention. All right, the NBA tonight. Oh, wait, there's not.
Yeah, that's really depressing.
That's all done.
I will say, Miami has been, other than the game the other night, the last game that they just played, Miami's been the underdog. I mean, Boston has been favored by
eight.
They're 7.5 or 8 today. They were 8.5 the other day. They were 9 in the first game. Almost every single game, I think, but one. Yeah. Give Miami some respect. Miami is closing it out in Boston tomorrow.
You think so?
They love that underdog mentality. They're going to go into Boston and close it out.
Jimmy Butler?
Yeah. And
he's so much fun.
It's really exciting, though, because in the NHL, it's either Vegas or, and I believe the Panthers will win, either organization will win a first championship, or if Denver wins, they will win a first.
Yeah, I could see that.
Which is cool.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. If Vegas closes it out, then and it's Vegas, Florida, then you're guaranteed.
You're guaranteed. Obviously, basketball is different because Miami and the Celtics have won, and if you don't know that.
Ricky wanted me to tell you he's hammering Boston -7 now.
Okay, let's just – who has been right in these when we've done them, Ricky?
Fade Michelle.
Okay, just watch. Jimmy Butler will have 55.
Probably. That's going to do it for us, but don't go anywhere. Caroline Willie and D-Mace. D-Mace back in the saddle coming up next. They'll give their thoughts on everything that happened at OTAs yesterday. That is all ahead here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.